he's right here, so. Oh, we topped it. He cold topped it.
Okay. Gotta go. Yeah.
Eight iron.
Oh, we shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome to the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by Kevin and Mark, as always. There's a couple of promises being delivered.
Well, yeah, there is.
Yeah.
Sawgrass sling?
No. Sawgrass splash.
Sawgrass splash.
And that should be pretty easy to remember because of how many balls you put in the water.
Well, cheers to the...
And get your fucking Singapore... What is it called?
Singapore.
Sawgrass splash. Sling. The way of me fucking display, me bogey boys.
Cheers, brother. So what's in this?
Cheers. This is lime juice, orange juice, lemonade, and vodka. Lovely. And by the way, I just said that. It's obviously gone to my head.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for this.
It's a few weeks too late, like, innit, but...
Doesn't matter. You're delivering on your promises, and that's the main thing. How are we anyway, brother?
Very well. And another promise delivered is I went and got frames for them beautiful golf prints.
Yeah, another discount code for our listeners. No, seriously, we're becoming the Groupon of golf, aren't we?
Yeah, man.
Bogey Boys 10 for 10% off. We'll provide a link to the shop, and we'll tag in the guys at Golf Print Company. So 10% off with Bogey Boys 10 at checkout. Go and check them out. Some great stuff. We've got some bespoke ones there. We've got form.
Oh, are they not for sale?
No, these were made especially for the Bogey Boys.
Ah,
these.
Lovely.
Yeah. I mean, you can send inquiries if you've got a specific golf print that you want. I'm pretty sure that they'll tailor to your needs. But these are...
bespoke?
Bogey Boys specific, these ones, yeah.
My dad always used to have a joke about the word bespoke. Cool. He was always like, he'd say, you get a bespoke kitchen, and he was going, is this the kitchen we bespoke about? Sorry about that one.
I love that one, I'm not going to lie. No, but they're good, aren't they? Yeah,
we've just got
the, is that this the fourth of Formby Hall?
The 16th, that.
Is it?
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
Do you know what that hole is?
Do you know what I thought that was?
What?
I thought that was the par five.
Well, the fourth's a par four for the start.
Well, then the third.
Oh, yeah. Nah, that's 16, then. That's the par three, 16.
Is it?
Yeah. That's the one where I was saying to Ricey, and I put it to an inch, and he had a hole-in-one and beat me.
Talking of hole-in-ones, that's the first on S&A. I've had one on that.
Oh, I can't believe I just teed that up for you. Why have I just done that? Yeah, you can actually see your pitch mark there on the fucking sand dune.
No, but thanks to the lads
over at
Golf Print Company for sorting those out for us. Really appreciate it. And as we've said, if you want to go and get yourselves one, we'll put a link in the bio.
Yeah,
and Bogey Boys 10 for 10% off.
And don't forget the fucking CBD there.
Oh, yeah, Golfers CBD. Yeah, 15% off with Bogey Boys 15 for Golfers CBD as well.
What?
And the Arcos code still works too. What are we like? We're about it, aren't we?
We are ramming things.
Anyway, on to the golf. How are we? How's golf?
Well, it's golf opens this week, doesn't it?
It does, this week. It's literally a week today.
I know. Well, in my mind, it's this, like, I'm...
Well, this is the last Monday we can't play golf.
Yeah.
So, that's very, very exciting news,
isn't it? That,
isn't it? I cannot wait to get out there, you know.
Kicked off on David, didn't I?
Why?
Because he got his diary out, didn't he, right? And he showed me, he's like, oh, I might be able to get you in until, like, the week after, the Monday after next or something. And I was like, Monday after next? I said, are you joking me? I said, I've been speaking to you all for weeks about getting me in first, like, for want to be in, like... And
the man's busy.
He opened his diary and I could see some names, like a few people. I was like, as if he's in before me. And he went, right, didn't you want 7 a.m. Monday morning? I was like, yeah, I do.
Is that you going that early, yeah?
Yeah, well, just because I've kicked the fuss up now. So I'm going to have to.
Throw your dummies out, yeah, it's going to be an early start. Yeah, but you're going to spend all day there on Monday, then?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you'll have to, won't you?
No, definitely.
I'm going to do just the driving range on the first week and play towards the end of the week because I'm still working on what David taught me months and months ago.
Yeah, you're still working on episode one, aren't you? We're on episode 50 nearly.
Well, I was hoping my handicap would be a bit higher, but we'll take five. Five was good enough to enter our first Northern Order of Merit event as well, yeah. Wasn't it? Entered in the Hesketh Henriques.
Is that what it is? I couldn't wait to read that word, you know.
Fact check.
Mm. Yeah.
Henriques.
Henriques, yeah.
Something
I don't know.
Like that. Yeah, I've played in it before when I was younger.
Have you?
Yeah. Didn't do too well.
Have you ever won any of them?
Never.
No. Just that I didn't know.
I've never won. No, I've played the SNA Bowl. I've played the Hillside Pines. The only one I've never played in, because I never got low enough, was the Birkdale Goblet.
Ah, right.
The only one I never got to play. And I played in the Junior Open at Birkdale, but never played the Goblet. But I'm looking forward to golf season starting, competition start getting booked in again.
Well, I've never really played anything outside of a club that I've been at. This is the most serious I've ever took golf, to be honest. I even went to golf college.
That was more drinking college for you, though.
That's it.
We spoke about that.
That's it.
But in golf news in general, there's some more news about Tiger. The man's keeping busy considering he's in his bedside, isn't he? PGA Tour 2K.
I know. That must have been teed up before, obviously, he had this crash. And then, you're probably thinking, oh, my God. It's like any publicity is good publicity, isn't it, really? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't play any video games, to be honest, so I don't know too much about it. I used to play the Tiger Woods PGA when I was younger, but I haven't got an Xbox or a PlayStation or anything like that. So
no, me neither.
Must be a big deal. He's back in the game.
Well, speaking of David again, he got the 2K21, and he was playing it. Don't you remember he was sending videos in and all that? I don't know. Was Tiger Woods not on the game then?
No, Tiger Woods wasn't on the
not
game.
Not on it at all?
Not on it at all, no.
Why would you even play?
Well, he's gone in as executive director and he's consultant on the game. So they don't even know whether he's going to be on this new game, but they're just using his wisdom. Similar to more news about Tiger as well, using his wisdom, they're opening the short course on Sawgrass, and that's opening in a couple of weeks' time.
No, Pebble Beach, you mean?
What did I say?
Sawgrass. At the Sawgrass
splash. I'm looking at the splash thinking, oh, you're lovely.
You're lovely.
Yeah, Pebble Beach, there we go.
Yeah, have you seen it? Have you seen how good it looks?
They've done a replica of the seventh hole, haven't they? An exact replica.
I think it's the
second or the third hole. Yeah, it looks lovely, doesn't it?
Yeah, I've seen some
nine-hole track.
I see whoever put that TW spot posted it, and then someone commented saying too expensive because it was $65, and then someone put, it's not your average municipal golf course, if you want to play somewhere else, basically fuck off.
Fair enough. Yeah.
I was like, Jesus Christ. Fair enough. Speaking of going on the back of Tiger, them two girls that were allegedly he slept with and had relationships with, bringing a book out. Oh, so they're jumping on the back of the press as well.
Fucking hell.
You know what I mean? So,
well, it's never ending, is it?
I've got a lot more words to say about them, but I know you'll edit it out, so I'm just not even going to say them. I'm going to leave it to the imagination.
A few more Sawgrass splashes, and we might allow you to say a few words.
Yeah.
Tiger's been in the news. Good news about him, though. He's back home recovering.
That's boss.
Yeah,
three weeks
going through all the surgery since the serious crash
he
was involved in, but he's back home now.
Yeah. It's a massive positive, isn't it, at the end of the day? We were saying, he's alive, he's home with his kids, he can be dad again and all that, so...
Yeah, we'll just have to watch this space. I haven't heard anything else about his recovery.
I just still want to see him.
It'd be interesting to see if he turns up at the Masters for the dinner the day before. Do you know what
he's
doing?
Right, yeah.
Because he'll get the invite, but it's if he's fit enough, mentally, and he's not tired and whatever, then he can go there. But I don't know, is he wheelchair bound at the minute? You just don't know. He won't be able to walk.
I didn't even think about that, you know. So that is a great point. And it's also, if his legs are in casts or whatever they're in, flying and stuff is a nightmare, isn't it?
Well, he'll go private, won't he?
Yeah, but I mean, just going in the air.
Or just because
of the swelling and all different things like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think, if I was turning to a doctor...
Hell is going on there, yeah.
I've never seen anyone fly with a cast
Dr.
on.
Dr. Kevin Whittaker there.
No, because you get, deep vein thrombosis and, different things like that.
Who
I just drank a medical degree down there.
Never even heard the word fibrosis.
You know, you get what's it called, DVT or whatever it is.
Well, I have no idea.
If you sit too long in a position, your veins, you get deep vein thrombosis, and it's in the air, it's amplified. So
I just know that as pins and needles, mate.
No, but if this is a major pins and needles where you're you're cabbaged, can kill you, you have blood clots and all that. So I've never seen anyone fly with a cast, but we'd have to fact check that because obviously I'm not a doctor.
You wouldn't have thought so, the way you just explained that. You used enough big enough words. So in the other news then, away from Tiger Woods, no par 3 contest at Augusta again.
I know.
It's been cancelled.
I know.
Do you know, I don't know why.
Well, it's probably got something to do with the global pandemic, I reckon.
Yeah, but no, they're in Florida high-fiving each other at the moment.
Yeah, but they're in Florida, and I just seen Charlie Hull's tweeted saying that she's in California this weekend. The gyms are all closed. It's a different states, different laws.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. It's different.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it depends where you go in the country.
Mm. Well, it's not too far from Florida, really, but they've got their own rules, so they must be adhering to the actual country laws.
We'll be back soon enough, but yeah, I like the par 3 contest.
No, it is. It's
I
sick.
Suppose a few players are probably happy though, because there's always that par 3 case, isn't there? The player has won the par 3s, never went on to win Augusta, so I imagine half of them don't want to win it.
I know.
So it's probably a relief that they're not playing it.
Yeah. And speaking of the Masters, right, did you see Faldo's tweet to Ricky Fowler? Faldo said it's good news if he misses the Masters, then he can choose another 6 commercials that week. He's like us.
Fair play, cynic. Yeah, Ricky Fowler's come out as a bit disappointed with his response, you know.
Yeah, but you got to remember, everyone thinks Ricky Fowler is this new kid on the block. He's been around the tour since he was 18. He's 30 odd. Do you know what I mean? He's like, he should. He hasn't fulfilled his potential at all, has he? Really?
No way. He got off to a flying start. He come on the scene with DJ. Come on the scene with JT. Come on the scene with Jordan Spieth. And you look at their credentials and what they've done in the game.
And they're probably thinking that they haven't fulfilled what they thought they were going to do.
Yeah. And the difficulty everyone will have, especially in this era, with comparing themselves to Tiger Woods.
Yeah, but there's one thing comparing and all that sort of stuff, but it's even getting close to anyone who's still playing. Like, you know, say Phil Mickelson's got like the most majors out of anyone that's still active or whatever, apart from Tiger. So then, or whoever's got the most PGA victories, like, is it DJ? He's got 25 now, Phil got more?
Fact check
anyway. But then you've just got to forget the best ever, go for the best of the generation and try and get closer to them. And just Fowler just hasn't done it, so I think he's more embarrassed. What can he say? Fowler's won majors, he's got a knighthood and all that, like, it's,
yeah, but he just didn't give him nothing back. Do you know what I mean? And I know it's hard to give somebody of that stature something back, but don't just say, I can see where he's coming from, he's just trying to get the best out of me. Well, he's not, he's slagging you off.
Yeah,
you
know, well, he said he'll use it as motivation.
Yeah, it as motivation, yeah.
I don't know, but at the end of the day, he's not playing the Masters, so it's like,
yeah,
he should have come back and said, yeah, I can't wait to shoot down commercials.
Put it right back in his face. Yeah,
just own it, yeah.
Definitely. But, and then just a final bit of news on the word Masters as well, the Portugal Masters. It's been postponed off the European Tour due to COVID restrictions, so it's going to be replaced on that date by the Tenerife Open.
I thought Portugal was one of the ones opening up on different things like that. No,
it's due, I think, the middle to the back end of April, and I just don't think they're going to be ready for it because of COVID restrictions and whatever.
April. I see, because
it's, like, it's only 3 or 4 weeks away, so getting the tournament ready, they're not going to be ready for it, so whereas Tenerife is a bit more relaxed. That's it.
Yeah, I see.
They're going to move it a bit further down, so and then hopefully they'll get it back on the schedule, but yeah, that's it.
Oh, well.
So, before we move on to the golf review from this week, should we do the quiz?
Go on, then.
It's my turn, innit?
Go on.
You ready for it?
Yeah.
I've gone for multiple choice, so this, again, changing the goalposts.
Oh.
I've gone multiple choice. There's 5 questions and then 3 answers. So,
okay.
And it's all relevant to this week's golf, so it'll bring us on nicely to the Honda Classic and what happened there. So, question number 1, how many golf balls went in the water at the Honda Classic? Was it A, 137, B, 237, or C, 337?
That threw me, that question, because I seen the water count,
yeah,
and it was at like 251, so I'm thinking 337.
237.
Yeah. I seen that 251.
No, it must have been 215.
250, dyslexic.
Question number 2. How many players in the field at the Honda Classic shot 4 sub-70 rounds? So we're in the 60s for each round. Was it A, 0, B, 5, or C, 10?
0.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's mad.
Yeah. There was every player shot at least one round in the 70s.
No way.
Yeah.
And it was a par 70 as well. Shows you the difficulty of it, though, doesn't it?
Living up to its potential, yeah. Question number 3. On Saturday, what was the combined number of birdies at the Bear Trap? Was it A, 8, B, 10, or C, 12.
That low, yeah?
It's on the three holes, yeah.
Jesus. 8.
Yeah.
Oh,
is eight?
Do you know what? I can't even remember the other two options. Just eight just stuck in my mind. I was like, I'm going with that.
Question number four. Wesley Bryant took his kit off to play a shot in the hazard. What was his score at the time of playing the shot? Was it A plus 6, B plus 9, or C plus 12?
Plus 6.
No, plus 9.
Do you know what? Is that... You put the thing on Canva? I should have seen that.
Plus 9. Okay. And then the final one. It's WGC week this week. Yeah. Again, we've got the Dell Technologies match play. How many WGC events are there?
4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't even let me give the multiple choice
answer. I know. Do you know what? I was just thinking, like, that's a bad question.
I already know them. So what do you get there, then?
Good few there. That's at least deserve a point for that.
3 out of 5 you got. Well done.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
But I'm still leading 1-0. So yeah. There we go. But yeah, we've got a couple of golf tournaments to review then this week. We'll start with the magical Kenya Open and what we could see of it, because we could see only Sunday play.
I know.
Logistical issues, they say. They were working with the local and national authorities, but there was no coverage on Sky Sports.
Logistical as in what, like?
They haven't said. There was just logistical issues. So
they couldn't get the kit there?
It just says that they were working with local and national authorities, so unless there was an issue getting permission filming...
Oh, yeah, I see,
could,
yeah.
It could be a lot of different things, but, yeah, they weren't able to get any live coverage until the Sunday, but it was decent Sunday, weren't it? Birdie Fest?
Yeah, it was good. It was very short, not... The altitude put 40 yards on them, didn't it?
Yeah.
And... Them par fives, they just look like par fours.
Yeah.
And some of the par fours look like par threes, really.
Yeah, was it 6-8?
Six, eight, but I just mean, even in the, was it the 11th that the Harding made eagle?
Yeah.
On the final round, and he like, the other two, that Katiama and whoever else, was hitting three woods, like, and then badly, and it was getting up by the green and stuff. It was very, very short.
Yeah, it was a very short course, and like you say, when you take the altitude into perspective as well, it's even shorter, isn't
exactly,
it?
Yeah, exactly,
so, yeah. But no, interesting stuff about that. Justin Harden, that's his second European Tour victory. Bogey-free final round, 66, like say, including that eagle, finished 21 under par and won by 2 shots. Do you remember Justin Harden a couple of years ago, 2019, had quite a bit of a rise, played in the Masters, got into the top 50 in the world?
Yeah, I remember him being a bit of a force, yeah, with and grace and coming through like that. But,
and he went off the boil a bit, yeah. Yeah, so that was it. He actually finished top 15 in the Masters, and then his form dipped, and then he's had no top 10 since September. And obviously then he's come out and won this week.
And it was a good performance. Like, it was solid all round, wasn't it, to be fair?
Yeah, that was one who had all four rounds in the 60s.
There you go.
Yeah.
There
finishing
you
with a 66, yeah. But they're back on the same course tomorrow. Back-to-back Kenya events.
Two mad statements in one sentence, that one.
What?
They're back on the same course tomorrow. Like, it's mad, isn't it?
I know, starts on Tuesday, yeah.
Why is that?
I tried to have a look, I've no idea. It's just Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week on the tournament. But I was going to ask you the question, that who does that give an advantage to? Because if you think the guys who've played the four rounds, they're only getting less than 36 hours on start to play on Tuesday, and then you've got the guys who missed the cut, all right, form mightn't be the best if they're missing cuts, but they've had two goals at the course, and they've had a good bit of time to recover and get ready for the following week, knowing that they're playing the same course. So who do you think is more of an advantage?
Well, this is sort of paraphrasing this, but Duncan McCarthy put a good piece out yesterday saying, like, everybody, even if you won, even if you missed the cut, you need to stop, reset, and go again and try and forget it. Even if you made bogeys, you made birdies, anything, just play it as if it's a new event. You've only got one day turnaround, rest, reset, and go again as if it's totally new, because you could... Even if you won, you're thinking, oh my God, there should be like the 73 syndrome.
Yeah.
You should be a certain amount under and you're not. But then whereas if you haven't, you've missed the cut and you're feeling negative towards the course, or you missed the cut and you've had time to practice and you go out there and you could shoot the lights out if you have rested. So it's a mad one.
It's a brand new event, yeah.
And it's new for everyone, isn't it?
That's what I'm thinking, yeah. And it does make you think. It'd be interesting to see come Friday afternoon or even Thursday morning, once the cut's been made, who is going to be there and whether there's a turn of events where the people who missed the cut have now made the cut and are going for the championship and then the others tire out.
Well, I believe that will happen.
Yeah, do you think so?
I think the people who've missed the cut, who've been chilling, practicing, surely, do they have to stay on the site in Kenya or I think they have to.
I have no idea. That's another thing. There is a bubble though. I think because I know Connor, Richard Mantle's caddy, Connor put, he had a tag and it had a zone number on it. So I think there is some sort of, there's some sort of restrictions.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. That's another bit of a disadvantage as well. And if you can't just, obviously you can't play the course, can you? Because the boys are on it. Or could you could bob out in the night and sneak a few holes in?
No, I don't think on tournament. No, that'd be closed, wouldn't it? To just tournaments because they've got to prepare it for the following day. But I know that they all got a practice round on the Monday.
Ah, right.
So they will have had a chance to go out and play.
Well, then, so some that Harding's getting no rest then?
This is what, yeah. Unless he decides to take the day off and go and do some putting or something.
Yeah,
and decide something else, or just completely rest and just tease it up again on the Tuesday.
Very, very, very interesting, isn't it?
Very interesting. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it pans out because say altitude, so it's hotter up there, isn't it? As well, so you know what I mean. You've got to take all that into consideration. So I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, we get to see some of it this time.
I know. Well, they must have sorted out the logistical issues, mustn't they?
Yeah, definitely. But, so
another one that Conor Syme, he shot 700 to finish third on his own. There, another one of the modest golf boys, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He's doing very well for himself, yeah. Well, we had the podcast we released last week with Ewan Ferguson. He's a good friend of Connor's, and he said he just seemed to get it straight away as soon as he got into the professional ranks in the game. He had top 10s, top 15s, and he just seemed to have cracked on since then, and he's just going from strength to strength, isn't he? And it's not going to be long before he gets that win.
And he looks like some boy as well, some boy.
Yeah.
Before we actually move on to the Honda Classic tournament, right, I've just got a few mad facts about Monday qualifiers.
Okay, yeah, let's go do it.
So, all the Monday qualifiers for this event have all got like a mad little story on them. So, Eric Compton had a double heart transplant before, and so he's the only one of them in the field, which is mad.
Yeah.
Zach Zabach shot 65, and then he said he was in second on the day, and he said, if I don't get in, I've still got a tournament to play. And he went to the Drive Shack that night. It was like Top Golf, and they have all different games and stuff, and won $1,000, and he had like a picture of himself with the check, but he ended up getting in, so he ended up playing anyway.
So that was his little
he was like, I've already got a tournament to play anyway. Yeah, exactly. So he was grinding, do you know what I mean? Steve Stallings shot 66, didn't think it was good enough, drove 30 minutes home, and then ended up turning round because he had a change of heart, and ended up getting in a playoff and won a spot.
Oh my God. Nearly a poor Kinnear.
Yeah, nearly, exactly, yeah. Well, it was a poor Kinnear, basically, because he got off. And
he actually
back.
Left, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then Marcel Rosso was only in the area, so he just went into the Monday qualifier anyway. He already had a flight that night to go to Louisiana to play on the Corn Ferry, and he ended up getting in, cancelling the flight to the Louisiana and playing that event.
Wow.
So I personally think that we should have Monday qualifiers for every event and just get loads of boss stories. Yeah.
Well, it'd be good to see the Euro Pro Tour they've got them this year. Yeah, they actually spoke about last week. Yeah. It'll be good to see any success stories from the guys who didn't have a card and then end up qualifying through the Monday qualifying and winning the tournament. So we'll keep an eye on that.
Exactly, yeah, it's decent.
Definitely, yeah.
So yeah, I just thought I'd seen that and I thought, that was a good little bit of information there.
No, very good bit of information, very good bit of information. But it was a good tournament, wasn't it? I mean, we spoke last week, didn't we, about the course records around there, 72 course records, Villajagas 13 under holding it, and Ricky Fowler with a minus 12. And then Matt Jones goes and shoots 61 first round, 9
joke
under.
That one,
and I was thinking, oh, he's having me off here. And then Adam Wise goes 6 under, 6 under, 12 under after the halfway point. But then it just bit them, didn't it?
I know.
Like the scoring from the first 2 days to the second 2 days was just ridiculous. But that goes back to what Hudson Swafford said when we done his show, wasn't it? It's like the course from Thursday to Sunday is unrecognisable.
Yeah, different places, aren't they?
Different places, yeah. So
every time I hear that Matt Jones, just can't get that Mike Jones. Who? Mike Jones.
What's that?
Have you heard that song?
No.
Oh my God. Yeah, well, there's a rapper called Mike Jones, and all he says is Mike Jones all the time.
Oh, so you just, when you're saying...
All I can hear is Mike Jones.
Yeah, Matt Jones there, another 40-year-old winning the tournament. There's a few of them now, hasn't there? We've had
it's great.
A few on the list this season. We've had Stuart Sink, haven't we? He won one. Who else was the Martin Sergio. Laird? Sergio Garcia. So the old boys are coming in top form, and then the last couple of weeks we've had Lee Westwood challenging.
Up there,
just shows the fitness and what's going into the game now, the older boys with their experience.
It just shows though that anyone can do it. Like these, like he's got, what's that, 7 years between wins he's got?
Yeah, 2014 was the last one at the Houston Open.
And like that, it must be hard to be like grinding and like on the number and then like getting your card. I don't know if he's been back down to the Corn Ferry or back over to Australia or what. He's, I haven't fully looked into his career, like the full ins and outs, but he's not a household name, is he, Matt Jones, really?
Well, since that win, he's won the Australian Open twice, so he must have been back over to Australia. But yeah, I'm not sure whether he's had consecutive
seasons.
No, but it's a life, like he mentioned there, it's a life-changing win for him at 40 years of age, picking up a cheque for $1.6 million.
Well, there you go,
You can't argue, can you?
No, can you, fuck?
Unbelievable stuff. 20 birdies all week he had, the most in the field, and that's his second win on the PGA Tour.
Brilliant. Do you know, I've got a little statistic for you. I know
you
usually like them.
Let's have it.
So, his approach, round one, he was first.
Yeah,
like
approach to the green.
Yeah, his approach round one, he was first, and then in round three, he was 63rd. So that's nearly bottom.
Yeah.
So he's went from first to last, because obviously he shot 900, and then so then round three, he was 63rd, but he was first for around the green. So he's first in scrambling.
He's
missed all the greens. He was getting up and down. So it's proper well-rounded, like performance. You know what I mean?
Exactly. When he's not hitting it so well, he's relying on a short game and it's paying
and
off.
And it's there, yeah.
But it's funny you should say about his chipping, because in 2014 he beat Makuucha in a playoff, and he chipped in on 18.
And as for the win
in the playoff, chipped in for the win.
Ah, right, I'm seeing that.
Yeah.
And there you go. He held
an absolute monster to get into a playoff at 18, and then they went for the playoff, just him and Kuchar, and he chipped in to win.
That's great.
Unbelievable.
Do you know he takes 4.8 seconds to hit every shot?
The 4.8
seconds. From walking up to impact.
Wow.
Like he walks up, stands, and just swings.
He was really fast, but that's fast, isn't it?
Yeah, I've seen Scratch Golf, but I've got a timer on him.
And
then like there's like a load of videos of him hitting like different shots throughout the week, and he just no practice swings and just goes it to
some goal in that 4.8. I suppose it takes that element of doubt out there. It was a complete contrast of what his playing partner done.
JB Sloan's.
He's been getting some stick, hasn't he, on the social media?
Hammered.
I know about how slow he was, and the fans were giving him some on the course as well.
Although like, fair enough, if you're doing it and you're playing well, but if you're doing it and you're playing and you're shooting, what did you shoot, 79?
Yeah.
Like,
he had a shocker there on the Sunday, didn't he?
Like, and then I read something where he played with Brooks Koepka in the 2019 British Open.
Yeah.
And he shot 87.
Do you know, I remember that.
He was playing, and he was taking his time on every shot still.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like, and I can imagine Koepka wanting to do him in, can't you?
Just take him out, hurry up, because he's fast as well, and he's no-nonsense golf Koepka, isn't he?
Yeah,
just gets up
and he hates it. He's very outspoken about slow play as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
Did you see, Camilo Villegas?
Yeah.
You had him in your picks, yeah. So, did you know that he had to finish third or better to keep it, to get staying the 125.
Yeah.
So, and then, but he obviously finished eighth. So he's still in his 126 to 150, because he had to finish inside the top 32. But then with all everything he's been through with his daughter and that, like, he just was rooting for him to get top three. Well, you know what I mean?
Because that Brandon Hagee finished second, and then there was a tied third, and then it went tied eighth. So Villegas had a putt on 18 for eagle, and he just left it short, and if he'd have held that, he'd have tied third.
Oh.
I don't know whether that would have been good enough, because
I think it would have got him,
Would that have got him,
I think so.
Yeah, because he gets an absolute paler into 18, and they were talking about that, and he had that eagle putt to get himself into a position, and if he would have held it, he would have moved up a spot.
Oh, killer. I seen an interview with that Hagee. He turned up, like, when he got something happened to him on Wednesday. I didn't actually go into the full detail of it, but
he got the call last minute on the Wednesday.
Yeah.
Flew in, no practice rounds, and finished tied second. All brilliant, on his birthday as well.
That
30th
is
birthday.
Brilliant. That is brilliant. Can't believe I'm looking into all the Monday qualifier stats.
You just took
looking.
Me birdie. That was my birdie that week.
Was it?
Can't believe you just took me birdie. Never mind that.
Sorry, brother.
Yeah, that was me birdie for the week, yeah.
Oh.
But yeah, Lee Westwood, we spoke about him, didn't we? About him, he said it's one tournament too many, but we could have told him that last week.
Hey, but also we took his girl off the bag and he brought his son in.
Yeah, and then he donkeyed it around.
So
70, 78, that final round, he missed some tiny putts as well.
What was up with him? Matt Jones missed a little tiddler as well on 11, just here, a little shaky.
Nearly four putted.
So it's...
I think that's one of the reasons it got so tough there, because the wind had dried the course out, and you could see it was like putting on glass, wasn't it? So the edges were a bit sharper, and they were just whizzing off and going 3 or 4 foot past, but... You mentioned there about that 64-73. That's a nine-shot difference.
The syndrome that we've diagnosed them all with.
Exactly, that's a nine-shot difference. Yeah. And look at Matt Jones this week. 61-70, nine shots.
There you go. It's called the nine-shot rule.
That's it. Keep an eye on it, people. Anything 64 and below, we can guarantee you, bet on a nine-shot difference.
Exactly. Hey, let me tell you something, what we're going to do as well, what I've just thought of right this second.
Go on.
On the Bogey Boys Golf Day, one of the rules is going to be the Matt Jones rule. So on that hole, you can't have practice rings.
Brilliant. Is that thing you'll be made up with you? What's his name? The chief of European Tour?
No. Oh, yeah.
Getting practice in any of you morning golfers. Or is it Keith Paley?
Yeah, Paley. You can't have practice rings at certain times. Yeah.
Call it the Matt Jones, Keith Paley.
And it's going to have to be on the first, or else we can proper monitor it. Anyone takes more than 5 seconds, you have to chase them.
If you're turning up to the Bogey Boys Golf Day late and you've got to dash your first swing, there's nothing down here. We'll see a few tops there. No, looking forward to it, yeah. But just a last mention on the Honda Classic then, the bear trap, we've got to talk about it. Do you know the way I told you there about the how many birdies there were on the bear trap on the Saturday? So there was more doubles on 15 than birdies.
It's mad, isn't it?
10 doubles, 7 birdies, right? There was 0 birdies on 16 all day, and there was only 1 birdie on 17 all day. So over those 3 holes all Saturday, there was 8 birdies.
That's mad, isn't it?
It was ridiculous.
It's good though, isn't it? Good solid test.
It is, yeah. Just Jack Nicklaus, he knows what he's doing, doesn't he? Yeah. He knows what gets in people's heads. But it's interesting to see, like, they're not long holes, really. It's 2 par threes. The par threes aren't long. It's just over water, but it's just, you narrow the greens down, but it just goes back to this golf distance debate, doesn't it? Where it
doesn't matter.
You don't need the length at all. You've got a hole 16 there. What was it, 440 yards, was it 16?
Yeah.
There or thereabouts. So that's not a long par four, and there wasn't one birdie made in it all day. So there's ways to make golf difficult.
Well, speaking of ways to make golf difficult, in the Florida Swing before this event, and what did you say, 227 balls in the water?
Yeah, 227 in the
227.
Water.
227, so before this event.
No, 237.
237. So in the Florida Swing before that, there'd been 663 balls in the water.
In the whole Florida Swing?
Yeah.
Wow.
By professional golfers, like. Do you know what
makes
I mean?
You feel a bit better, doesn't it?
And you know, I don't know, this is before this week, I was meant to double check it because I put this stat in on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Ben, Ann and Adam Scott, they had the tied record balls for the before this event of balls in the water. Do you know how many?
Well, Ben Ann put a few in on 17 Sawgrass, didn't he?
He had the Sawgrass splash, literally.
About 30.
30 balls, professional golfers each in the water.
No, between 15 each.
Oh, 11 each.
11 each. What the hell, that's a lot, isn't it?
And Adam Scott definitely added to that, but he got in and played it on the Thursday. I'd seen him take his shoes off and get in and go up and down.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that counts. So I definitely know he added to his total, but I don't know. I should have double checked that, how many more they got. But 11 balls, man, in like what? It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. 11 balls each. That's probably about the same that you put in when we done that Sawgrass game. Take one, take two, take three, before we eventually beat some pros.
Some pros, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing, isn't it, to think that there's that many balls getting lost out of the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
Sick.
But no, it was a great tournament. Looking forward to seeing what comes next for Matt Jones, 40 years of age, another win.
Does it get him anything special? Is he up? I didn't look at his rankings.
He's up to 15th in the FedEx, so I think top 20 FedEx gets in the Open.
Yeah. So what about Masters, no?
No.
That's top 50.
No, yeah, a win gets you in the top 50 or a win.
So
it gets him in the Masters, yeah.
Sick, that.
So sick, and if he keeps his place in the top 15 in the FedEx rankings by the time the cutoff is for the Open, he'll get in the Open as well.
Yeah, because he's played the Masters in 2014.
Yeah,
because I watched the video of him giving these two girls in a cafe to come and recognise him with tickets. It's mad, mad video. I don't know what I watched, to be honest.
What was that?
Some girl,
sounds very strange.
Some that. Girl recognises him in a cafe and she's like, oh, we went to golf yesterday, didn't see nothing, it was rubbish, blah blah blah, and he was like, well, do you want to go tomorrow? And he would give it to the mat.
To the Masters?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Need to go and chill in that cafe, don't we? Yeah, fly yeah, over
she was like, I didn't see one golfer yesterday, and all of a sudden in a cafe, and Matt Jones is here.
Wow. So. Amazing. That brings us nicely onto that time again.
It's that time again, y'all. The birdie boogie bust, the birdie boogie bust, birdie boogie bust.
Nice.
Right, so we've just established that you've stolen my birdie there.
Sorry about that.
Brandon Hagee flies in on Wednesday, no practice rounds, shoots career low 62 and celebrates his 30th birthday.
Gangster.
My birdie for the week. So let's go on straight on to yours.
Well, mine is, we've actually spoken about that as well, but it's just Monday qualifiers, and I think they should do them for every tournament.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they're sick.
To get them stories off a Monday qualifier, is it? Because it's like,
it's not to lose as well.
That's what I mean. Yeah, it's not like to lose. Sick.
Like, I love them.
Yeah. So they've got them on the Euro Pro Tour, and they don't do them on every PGA Tour event, though, do they?
No, no, that's what I'm saying. Because only, like, because if it's an invitational, they can't do it because you'd have to be invited. Like, you have, there's a certain field, like the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
Right.
Open, like, if it opens, obviously, you can qualify. And then certain other events, you can qualify.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So there's just
they're only open tournaments.
Right, that's open to anybody to qualify, whereas it's not a specific, like, top 50 get invited to the Masters.
That's why I don't know, that's why I was saying about the Euro Pro, if why people who are, like, they've done qualifying to get to it, get a category, and then someone can rock up and potentially take your money. Do you know what I mean? For 50 quid.
Yeah, it is. It's not going to stop them getting the tournament, though, is it? It's just extending the field.
It's just another head.
Are you getting another person to beat? Yeah, because if that person comes in and wins the tournament, and if Monday qualifying wasn't there, you'd have won that tournament.
Imagine you come second to the Monday qualifier and you're like,
exactly.
What?
No, very good, yeah. Hopefully there's some success stories off the Euro Pro. They bring it through to the Challenge and they bring it through to the European Tour as well.
Exactly, yeah.
On to the European Tour now, that's my bogey for the week. The pay gap between the PGA Tour and the European Tour. I don't know whether it's just because of Kenya, but €145,000 for winning, Justin Harden got.
€145,000,
yeah. Right. So if you compare that to Justin Thomas of the Players, won $2.7 million. So Jesus. His caddy would get 10% of that plus a wage. So his caddy's earned more caddying at a PGA Tour event than Justin Harden did for winning a four-day event.
Jeez.
And even when you look at this week as well, I know dollars is a bit different, so it's not as much, but Matt Jones's caddy will have picked up about $150,000-$160,000. So what you're thinking it, so that's my bogey for the week. It's just, you know, how what? Do you
I want to add to that, because it's not just the top, like there's got Thomas and you've got Jones who were earning big bucks there, but I was looking down the list further, and like 8th in Kenya, it was getting you like $35,000, whereas 40th on the PGA Tour was getting you $35,000. I know it's obviously a little bit more, but as a comparison, euros to dollars, it's how much? It's not that much more, is it?
Well, that's if you make
you're coming 30th, you're making the top. You're coming 8th.
This is it seems like as though if you make the cut on a PGA Tour event, you're getting more money than finishing top 10 at a European Tour event. And they're both major tours. They've just done a merger together, so they're working together. They're both the two main tours in golf, really.
Well, that's why you can see that this Premier League golf coming through, 50 millions and all that, 10 paces every week and that.
Well, it just shows it that the money's out there. And that's why I was saying to you, like, there's the European Tour has got a good enough schedule and it's organised well enough that more money should be thrown at it. I don't understand the reasons why the paces are so low and the opportunities are so scarce.
I've just realised what the logistical nightmare was.
Go on.
They've got no toe.
They have to source in some extra cable, yeah.
The skin one.
No, but it is. It's I've seen that everybody who missed the cut in Kenya, they got £1,000 or €1,000.
For missing the cut?
€1,000. So if you come 75th or you come 150th, you got €1,000.
So you got your flights and your caddy people.
Do you know what I mean? So, and it's the same pace again this week in Kenya. It's another million. So the winner's going to get 145k. I mean, don't get me wrong, if you win, there's nothing wrong with 145k, but I just think...
For the top stage of the European...
It's a European tour event. Yeah, do you know what I mean? This is what I can't... This is, I mean, if you look back at Kenya, the Kenya, for, I think from 2013 to 2016, this Kenya Open was on the Challenge Tour. And then it had a season on the Sunshine Tour, and now it's progressed to the European... So, but even if you look at the field, there's still players that play that have all played in Dubai and played over there and are doing things. And this week, again, pretty similar field. I've noticed Baldwin's in this week. Matty Baldwin's got in this week. So,
nice.
But you think the reward should be better for the work rate that's going in.
And with the COVID and everything, what's going on, they're probably just happy to be playing golf. I mean, like, you can't even go to the pub, can you? Do you know what I mean? It's like,
but we talk every week, don't we, about... Why do players go over to the PGA Tour and why do we not grow the European Tour? We've got enough talented players there. Well, that's your reason. You get an opportunity to go to the PGA Tour and you make the cut. You're earning more than it would be for a top 10 on the European Tour.
Gone.
Not in every event because you've got the Rolex Series, but the Rolex Series, they like see a Rory and Shane Lowry and all, and they'll come over and they'll take those spots.
Exactly.
And it just seems backwards. They're earning all the money anyway. So that could be an opportunity for the players who've played on the European Tour the whole time to get in there, but then it goes down to the sponsors want to see the big names there because it gets more television.
But at the end of the day, if you treat it, you can only do what's in front of you. You've got to go out and try and win and try and do the best you can, and then you work your way up to them sort of levels, don't you?
Yeah, you do, but I want to see, instead of working your way up to that level and get on the PGA Tour, more investment on the European Tour so they don't have to go over. There's still enough big money events where they can stay on the European Tour and be satisfied.
It's like I said though, it's the coverage. It's the timing of the coverage. Like no one, it's every ton in the day, isn't it?
Well, I was thinking about this, but the PGA Tour's on in the day in America.
Oh yeah.
I thought about that when I was listening back, and I was thinking, yeah, but in America, they're all watching the PGA Tour.
It must take some time off or something.
No, it's because you've got all the superstars, the top 20 players in the world all play on the PGA Tour, the top 30, top 40, you know, but I don't know. I just think that's me bogey this week because something's got to give. I just think to win a golf tournament and it finished...
It all comes down to what Phil said about earning a million in a tournament. He never thought it would happen.
Yeah.
And one man changed it, and it was Tiger Woods, and he's revolutionised the PGA Tour.
Yeah, but the European Tour are not going to get the opportunity for a Tiger Woods to come along and revolutionise the European Tour because they'll just move over to the PGA Tour once they get to that stage. You've got it now. We spoke about him last week, Rosner. He's got himself in the WGC Dell Match Play because he's in the top 64 in the world now. So he's playing there because of that tournament he won. So he's won that tournament and he goes straight over to the WGC. If he does well now and he establishes himself on the PGA Tour, he's going to stay there. He's not going anywhere else.
No, but why would you?
Well, this is what I mean, because there's the incentive to stay on the European Tour is not there. So that's my bogey. It's
but then as the bigger ones go, it just leaves space for new people to come through, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Listen, well, no one's arguing the system isn't a bit flawed, but it is what it is, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's me bogey.
Yeah.
What about you?
My bogey is just JB Holmes' a slow play. Just how slow is he, like?
It was ridiculous.
It just must be so hard for Matt Jones, who takes 5 seconds to hit a shot, to then be leading four shots ahead, and then for him to be... Who you're meant to be like, because you can
get out of
his way. Get dragged down, can't you?
He should get out of his way. I think at the point where he's playing so bad, but then again, there's so much like
there was third, Matt Jones, the one of the holes, JB Holmes sprayed it right and then he hit one off the tee. And then Matt Jones walked, picked his club out, 5 seconds, hit a shot 213 yards onto the middle of the green. JB Holmes and his caddy were farting around in the bushes, getting dropped, referees over. Matt Jones at the side speaking to, I think it was Bones McKay or like a radar or someone that was there talking about different things and blah, blah, blah. And then when he went to putt, when Matt Jones actually got to putt because JB Holmes chipped it up, went up. Do you know how long it was between the shots?
What, a couple of minutes?
13 minutes.
Was it?
Uh-huh.
Between his 5 second shot and then his...
And his putt.
Wow.
When he's only like 11th hole about to back, nine on, so back much, nine on Sunday.
They talk about it all the time, don't they? It's well publicised, the mental side of the game and what it can do to you. And if you've got 13 minutes to think about a 5-shot lead,
exactly.
you maybe not want to look at leaderboards, but you've got 13 minutes to kill. You're going to be looking around for something, aren't you?
And just not even looking around, just more thinking and more like you seize up. He's 40 yards, you mean?
But yeah.
Stiffened up, like, I don't know if he had clubs out swinging or anything like that. Like,
it goes back. He should get out of his way, but when you're playing for so much money on the PGA Tour, every shot counts.
Yeah, but
so he's not, even though he shot a 79 on Sunday, he's thinking a 78 earns me an extra 10k.
Yeah, but I didn't realise as well, JB Holmes, like, I know he's got slow play and all that, but do you know he went through loads of surgeries, like a shoulder surgery, and like,
no,
He's been through the mill. Like, you wonder where he's been, don't you?
Yeah, because he's seen him. He had a boom, didn't he? Like years ago, and he was doing quite well. And then all of a sudden, he seemed to just
loads of injuries, a few surgeries and stuff. Yeah. So I do feel for him a bit, but just slow play. You can't, there's no excuse for it.
No, there's not. There's taking your time and having a structure to your pre-shot routine and things, and but then there's taking the piss.
Why isn't he on the clock as well?
This should have been, shouldn't
it? Do you know what I mean? It's stupid.
He should have been on the clock. But, and my bust, we've spoke about it, just no coverage on the European Tour.
That's my
3 days.
That's my bust.
Is that your bust? Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think,
because you said it, you put it in my head, you were like, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to put that on and we'll sit there, watch the golf, I'm going to watch all that. Got a few people that we know playing and I'm going to watch every second of this Kenya Open. I was like, lovely, I'm going to do the same then.
And then
and I woke up and it wasn't on. I was like, what is going on here?
And do you know what was funny about it? Like, the they must have had cameras there because they'd done a highlight show of the golf for an hour. So do you know when they used to broadcast the Euro Pro Tour and the Challenge Tour events?
And
they
would
do an hour.
Shots.
They'd do an hour, wouldn't they, of the whole tournament, really?
Yeah.
Well, they'd done a full hour of the day. So you've seen all the shots. So the video cameras were there and it was rolling. And that made me think, was it a permission deal? But
yeah, must
why
have
would
been.
Why would they not be allowed to? It's been on the schedule for so long. And then all of a sudden they get the Sunday. So it starts again tomorrow in Kenya, so I mean we'll touch on it in a moment. But
someone probably bought the right to stream out and like the output, and they've had to pay them off.
We've done a bit of audio training, have you? Output. It's the first time I've seen you use that word in a sentence in my life.
So I'm a doctor. I'm a sound engineer.
Find so much about you. You're a cocktail maker as well.
Cocktail maker, yeah.
What a man. A man of many talents, yeah. So that's the birdie bogey bus for the week.
Lovely, lovely.
Lovely. Ryder Cup year. 1963, yeah.
Arnie Palmies. I should have got the Arnie Palmies out.
Should have got the Arnie Palmies. They'll do for now. They're lovely then.
Yeah.
Yeah, Arnold Palmer, playing captain, the last ever playing captain.
I know.
Mm.
Why is that? Just pressure?
I just think they start, like we said a couple of, in the 1959, when we spoke about this as the turn of events, it's now in the 3 days, it's pretty similar to the format
you've got now. Well, this is the first one for 3 days, do you know
yeah,
that?
So I think now the Ryder Cup is becoming more serious.
Yeah.
It's becoming more of a household tournament, you know, it's GB, I don't know when it changes to Europe.
I know.
But it's becoming more of a...
And there's still Irish people in there.
Harry's still playing, isn't he?
Harry Wheatman's still going, man.
Oh, what a guy.
Hey, boy, do you know what I was going to say about Harry Wheatman there? He won one, lost eight, drew one. I'm like, just give it up, Harry, lad. We love you, like, and all that. You've had a lot of airtime.
Yeah, but it was played at the... which is Eastlake now, the Atlanta Athletic Club.
Yeah. 23 now.
I was going to say.
Landslide.
They got absolutely tonked.
And it was the foursomes were introduced.
Yeah, so it was over the 3 days, you had four foursomes, and then you had four better ball, and then you had 16 singles.
Yeah.
But the only thing that's different now is they've got 8 singles now.
Well, that foursomes...
Is it 8 singles now? Or 12 singles?
12 singles,
12
like,
singles,
yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
So that foursomes, which has got introduced, where is this just two ball better ball, or is that where you alternate shot?
Yeah, better ball is just whoever scores the better ball. Foursomes is alternate shot.
They should really throw a little scramble in there, shouldn't they?
What, Texas scramble?
Yeah, with the all hit the drives. The four the balls one. Against the four ball, all hit the drives. Yeah. See how they get on with boss, wouldn't they?
It would be boss. What
do they call it over there, a bramble?
Is that what it is, a bramble?
Yeah, well, that's what I only got that off that Ronan.
Ronan said, yeah, a bramble, yeah. Yeah, because he said on that par three, didn't he? Then no one. All hit the green and we all made five.
Yeah.
Arnold Palmer lost his singles match to Peter Alice.
No
his
way.
His first defeat.
Bit of controversy as well over young 23-year-old podgy, weird haircutted Jack Nicklaus.
I know. Well, similar to what happened with Arnold Palmer, wasn't it? He didn't have the eligibility to be selected.
It's mad. So you got to be on the PGA Tour for 5 years. No wonder they're all old.
Jack Nicklaus. It's interesting because he played his first Ryder Cup in 1969, which was the year of the famous Tony Jacklin concession. And it makes you think, as he's seen that putt, and think, fuck you, PGA. So, for not letting me play for so many years, we're going to half this one.
Well, he did, on that season, the 63 season, he just won his third major.
I know, it's ridiculous.
So, like, you've got a man winning three majors and you can't take them to Ryder Cup.
I know.
Imagine, like, the USA not taking Koepka when he won two back-to-back US Opens. I know. Like, come on.
I know. It makes you think, and like we spoke about the last couple of weeks on it, Arnold Palmer was exactly the same, wasn't it? And that stuck with him, that. You don't get to play until you're so old, and maybe that's why the age, you spoke about the age, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
Whereas in the Great Britain team, they were all very young, weren't they? Like 20, had 21, 22 20 years
odd,
old.
So a few coming up 20-odd year old.
There
yeah.
was no criteria there for them to be members before they can play.
Well, I mean, it's not exactly like the losing because they've got all places. You know what I mean?
I suppose that the way they're looking at it is, well, if it's not broke,
don't, yeah, exactly. Yeah, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Yeah.
Yeah, but the one interesting thing, I know they got battered in this one, but we spoke, didn't we, about how they picked the team, and I said that they picked players based on tournaments from April to June.
Yeah.
Well, they've actually changed that now from April to September, so you're getting more of your informed players.
Oh, there you go.
When they're picking the players, even though they still got beat, but now a good tournament, another victory for the Americans. And yeah, Jack missed the 63, 65 and 67 all because of this eligibility.
If he's won three, mate, when did he turn pro, Jack? Do you know?
It was early 60s, wasn't it? Was it?
Because surely by 69, 59? He's had 5 years eligibility, hasn't he? By 67. If he's won three majors in 1963, you'd think he'd be in 67, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Little fact checks on that
we
one.
We need a few little radical fact checks, see what's happening here, don't we? No, but yet that 69 was his first one, Tony Jacklin.
I know.
The concession, and then was it a won't pick me, will you, Sam? We'll just have this one.
Exactly.
And see how it goes from there.
Yeah, I'm going to come and put me mark on things and give us everyone at the first half.
Yeah,
I've never gone on, do you know what I mean?
That's it. But no, another Ryder Cup to look forward to as we continue this journey on the Ryder Cup journey. Hopefully the Britons can start winning a few. I don't know the results in the ones coming, but they just keep getting it handed to them year on year, don't they?
Joke.
Now you've got Jack Nicklaus on route.
Coming. Does not helping anyone, that, is it?
It's not helping no one. But yeah, we'll continue to recap these Ryder Cups as we build up to.
Yeah, we will continue.
Why?
And because I'm just moving on to a segment that I seem to be doing.
I thought you were going to say because I was proper greedy on the mic there for the 63 Ryder Cup.
No, I was just saying because you're proper ungreedy about this segment.
You can have this one.
Do you
yeah.
just not do this?
Well, you just love it so much.
Do you know? But
this is where you shine.
Does it cross your mind on a Monday and think?
I completely forget every week about it. And then when I'm traveling here, I think, surely Kev's done it, hasn't he? And then I get it and you go, oh, I've got a great one this season. So go on, take it away.
I actually enjoy it. I do proper enjoy it. So, who we've got this week is an English lad called Conor Goff.
Okay.
Right. Mad one. So, because, right, I seen him at the 2019 Walker Cup at Royal Liverpool.
Me and David and
Lee went down. And weirdly, right, he hit one shot, ripped it down the middle. He was a few up. He was world number. He was the highest ranked British amateur.
Yeah.
So he was second in the world.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, geez, who's he? And straight away, me and David both said, he's not going to be around golf for long. He's, look at his attitude, and that stinks.
Well, what was he doing?
He's just flicking his hair back and he was walking. He just, we're judging a book by its cover, by the way. Do you know what I mean?
We're literally
judging him straight off just one hair flick.
Yeah.
And then as I was looking into him, right, Faldo said that he's got a nice swing and he holds everything and he must be confident with himself with that haircut. Straight away, I was like, okay, right. So
Faldo's not shy to give his opinion.
And then me and David both said that he won't be round golf. And then I was reading a few more quotes saying that he's not turning pro before the 2021 Walker Cup. Okay. This was last year. This was this article, because I've got that one to watch for this season, haven't I? I was doing it off.
Yeah.
He doesn't want. He said if he's not playing for a week, he said he'll go and see his mate. He'll go see his girlfriend. He's not missing out on a social life. I was like, okay, that adds up to what me and David sort of got the vibe off him off one shot. Remember, do you know what I mean? And he's like, I'm going to do my A levels and need a plan B if golf doesn't go to plan. So then I was thinking that's not very like. Confident is
if
it
you
like
getting to world number three as an amateur?
Two, you know what I mean?
Number two as an amateur, then you've got to have that attitude as golf is everything.
Everything,
Why Tiger's so successful?
And selfish. It's just and then Charlie Hull was like, I knew I was going to be a professional golfer. I wanted to be a professional golfer, and that was it. Like she got took out of school. Ewan Ferguson took out of school. Yeah.
He's got doubts about golf.
Doubts,
in his mind
a
already.
Few things, yeah, like social life, blah blah blah. Anyway, so I thought. I see how he's getting on this year, do you know what I mean? I looked, world ranking, like, amateur, 363 in the world. I was like, all right, okay. Tournament, 5th to the 7th of February. I was like, oh, lovely, went on. At Sea Island in Georgia. Do you know what he shot?
No.
The winning score was like 400 or something.
For how many rounds?
Three.
Two over level?
29 over.
Wow. And he's dropped to over three.
He's dropped over 300 spots 300. In the world as well, yeah.
What's happened?
So it was a double one to watch this. It was like...
So he's obviously not going to be picked for the Walker Cup then?
I wouldn't say so, no. But he was the second youngest ever Walker Cup player as well because he's only 17.
How old is he now?
Well, he's only... close to 19, yeah.
19, 20.
So I don't know if he's found the old Gareth Bale or whatever. But it's just so mad if he doesn't come to, if he prevails he's obviously Walker Cup he's quality player world number two he can come on to the tour and all that but if he doesn't it's so mad that me and David spotted it off one shot and seen his attitude and both said the same thing that
for Faldo to make them comments
Faldo,
as well
yeah,
he must have,
mad.
There must be something I think you can just
so
get,
it's
a,
double,
get a gauge
it's a double one to watch it's a one to watch if he comes and it's a one to watch where he goes as well
to see where he ends up interesting one
I thought it was quite a good one
fantastic segment you've got going there
I love
I think
it
I've,
I'm
I
proud
think,
of myself to
I
be
think I've realised the reason why I don't do any you've not shared that sheet with me
what sheet?
You've just said the sheet that you get the article you get it all off.
Oh, well, that was just for the last five.
Oh, was it?
Well, I've only done five, haven't I? Now, I've got a couple of different... I just keep typing in one to watch 2021 and getting a few people. But
no, but it's good, yeah. Again, another one to add. So,
definitely. I hope he turns it round. Connor Goff, yeah. He's from Stokeways, I think.
Is he? I'll have a little look and keep an eye on him and see.
Definitely.
Well, he's not far from us. Then he'd be north of the border, some nice golf to look forward to. We've spoke
Lovely.
Briefly about the Kenya Open. We've got golf Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for the Kenya Savannah Classic, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Kenya Savannah Classic.
I know it is,
And then we've got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, WGC Dell Technologies Match Play. My favourite event of the year, this.
You like it, yeah?
I love
it.
Obviously, take away the majors and the masters and the excitement you get for this, but I just love the match play format. And
it is boss.
It's just, because you see so much that you don't normally see in an event where, people not giving gimmies that are gimmies and, things like that.
And you're not bothered, are you? Because it's match play, isn't it?
It's just one tournament to watch. And the draw's just been, so it's at the Austin Country Club, as it usually is, par 71. 7,108 yards.
Yeah.
All the top ranked 10 players in the world are playing there. And it's top 64 ranked players who qualify.
Big Kev, the defending champion.
Yeah. Big Kev Kistner.
Do you remember? I was doing this and I was getting a few information, but I thought, I know you always like to do the yardage, but remember that one time I'd done the yardage, but I'd done the postcode?
I actually think that was edited out, that was fantastic.
Was
I think so, It was, you done the, I was like, no, that's not right, that. And
you were like, 7,200, and I was like, no.
That was a lie.
I was like, it's 6,900, and you were like, I was like, oh, no, it's 6901 Rosé Boulevard or something. That's the postcode.
I don't think I've let you in on the yards ever since, have I?
No, as I was doing it, I thought, I'd never do this. I thought, that's why.
Yeah, but there's obviously, for obvious reasons, there's no Tiger.
I know.
No Koepka. No Gary Woodland. He was positive COVID, had to pull out last week. No Justin Rose since his withdrawal. I think his back's still bad after he withdrew from Sawgrass.
Yeah.
And no Adam Scott. I'm not sure why Adam Scott's not playing.
No balls left.
That's fucking brilliant. Well played, lad. So yeah, the format: top 64 ranked players in the world and the groupings. I've got the groupings here. Do you know? Have you seen the groupings?
I haven't seen. I didn't even know it was done yet.
So it's 16 groups with 4 players in each group.
Yeah.
And they all play each other once over the Wednesday, Thursday.
So they're playing in four balls, but they're playing against. It's all match play. There's no like stroke play event before it.
No stroke play, it's all match play. So for example, in group one you've got Dustin Johnson, Adam Long, Kevin Na, and Bobby Mack.
How was it done?
So those so we'll just take group one for example.
Yeah.
So DJ, Adam Long, Kevin Na, and Bobby Mack will all play each other once.
No, sorry, I mean how is the draw done? Is it just random?
Strategy two is so the top 16 in the world can't compete against each other. Based on where you're ranked, it's
so there's like pots.
There's 4 different pots, yeah. 1 to 16, 17 to 32, 33 to 48, and 49 to 64.
Nice.
Quick math.
Quick math.
So the 4 in each group will play each other once over the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You'll get 1 point for a victory, half a point for a half. It doesn't go into a sudden death. It's just if you're half the match after 18, you get half a point, and obviously 0 for losing. So the top 16 players in at the top of each group will then move on to the Saturday to play in the final 16, and then in the afternoon on the Saturday, final 8, and then the Sunday semi-finals, and then Sunday afternoon the final.
Well, if you've got 4 pots, then we might as well just keep the Bogey Boys order of merit the same then, might we, and just pick one from each pot. It's up to you, like, it's just because there's no point in there's no benefit for picking someone who's not that good and they win. Do you know what I mean? You don't get any extra points for our system. Do you get me?
Okay, yeah,
we'll work it out in a minute.
Just dropping bombshells on me,
yeah.
So yeah, that's the ones, a couple of pots to look out for. There's one pot. Team which just European players in, and one pot with just American players in. So
pots, what are you calling them, pots, in it?
What are they?
Groups.
So in group 8 you've got Hatton, Westwood, Wallace and Garcia
nice.
All playing against each other, so that'll be a nice little competitive one to see who comes out on top for the Ryder Cup. And then Team USA, you've got Morikawa, JT Poston, Horschel and Max Homer.
Decent.
All playing. My favourite pot to look forward to is DeChambeau, Tommy Fleetwood, Rosner and Kim.
Sick group. Oh, Rosner, look at you there. You love him, don't you?
Ryder Cup contender, isn't he?
He is
now, yeah. So in the field in total, we've got 17 Europeans, 16 from the rest of the world, and 31 Americans. So it's quite an even split when you think of the Americans and the rest of the world. So
yeah.
One to look out for in the matches from day one on the Wednesday, Rory is taking on Ian Poulter. Be a decent match.
Be a decent match. Like, what? Be halving in bogeys, isn't it, won't he?
Both struggling. No, but they've got a bit of history, haven't they?
Yeah.
You know? And Poulter loves a match play, doesn't he? You know what he's like in the Ryder Cup and things. So
yeah, man.
He always shines in these events. Fitzpatrick's taking on Spieth.
I want to see Fitzpatrick take on Bryson, me.
Well, yeah, that's what we could see. We could see that. Bryson is taking on Rosner.
Oh my god, you say Rosner again.
And then we've got Westwood and Garcia. So they're my picks. Select the picks out of day one to look out for the best matches. And then a couple from day two as well. Matty Wolf is taking on Spieth. Hovland against Wiesberger.
Wolf wants to have been in the range, mate, because he was struggling, money.
Big time, yeah. He's had some time off. DJ, he's playing my good friend Bobby Mack.
Big Bobby
Mack. And then we've got Rahm against Lowry on day two as well. Sick. So I'm looking forward to the whole event.
Just Boston, it starts on Wednesday, isn't it?
It is, yeah. We've got the hopefully if the European tour sorts out the logistical issue, we've got golf Tuesday right the way through to Sunday.
That's it. Do you know what the largest margin of victory at the Dell Match Plays is?
Tiger had one, didn't he? 9-8.
9-8, yeah.
Yeah, it was a Tiger.
But do you remember that?
Who did he beat?
Stephen Ames.
Yeah,
but Ames came out with some comments before it saying, like, he's only human and blah, blah, blah. Like, he can be, he's not that'll playing too well. And then Tiger's like, I think he understands now.
Such a man, isn't he? Such a man. I'm just looking at the schedule here to see where Bryson DeChambeau and Fitzpatrick could meet, and they're on opposite sides of the...
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, because they could meet at the final, yeah.
Well, while you're doing that, do you know what the longest match is ever? How many holes?
In match play history?
In this event, yeah.
27. 26. Oh, nearly. Good guess, that.
Yeah. Mike Weir versus Lauren Roberts, and then Westwood versus Scott LaPlante.
Is it? Are these finals or just?
Yeah, it doesn't say. Westwood was in 2006 and the other was in 2003, but it just says that's how many holes it went. It doesn't say what stage it was at.
Brilliant, brilliant. So looking at this now, let's have a look. So I'm just thinking of potential matchups that we could see as we move down this leaderboard. You've got a potential for Bryson DeChambeau against Tony Finau. Colin Morikawa against Victor Hovland, Battle of the Youngsters. That would be a good match. Xander Schauffele is in the same group as Scotty Scheffler.
Fucking hell, be hard one for the man.
Tongue twister there. Good luck to the commentators as well. Ooh, ooh. We could see in the round of 16, if they win the groups, Justin Thomas against Jordan Spieth.
That'd be good.
But that means Fitzpatrick is knocked out, so we wouldn't see Bryson DeChambeau, Fitzpatrick. So what would you prefer? Would you prefer to see JT and Spieth?
I'd rather JT and Spieth, because it'd be more of a buzz, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But like...
But you were talking, I don't about, think Bryson, talking about wanting to see full-on fights.
I know,
fights,
but
I
just don't think that Fitzpatrick could even turn up to the tee, you know, to be honest.
I don't think Bryson's going to get past the first match, though, because he's playing Rosner, isn't he?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, God.
No, but I'm looking forward to it.
That'd be good.
We'll have a think about whether we're going to move forward with the... Because we wasn't going to do the order of merit this week because of the complications. But
we've got to do... Now we have to do something.
It makes sense now that you've said that.
If it's split up like that into groups, you might as well, mightn't you?
Groups of 16, yeah. And then pick a winner. So you just pick four players, and then if your player wins, you get so many points.
Yeah.
Just do the wins or...
Yeah, well, that, yeah. So then you've got... Imagine, like, a pot four, probably Rosner. Wins the whole thing.
Are we picking Rosner then?
Well, yeah. What could Kevin Kisner look like in when 2019? He can't have been that high up the world rankings, can he, to be winning it?
No.
So, but we'll work that out. We'll work that out. Do you know also, and it's usually you that brings this segment on, but do you know that there's a...
Why isn't Kisner playing? Here he is. Yeah, there he is. He's in the group with Justin Thomas, Oosthuizen, and then Kuchar. It's a good group, that.
Yeah.
Go on, sorry.
Do you know... Do you know that you usually bring this on, but the LPGA Tour's back.
Is it?
Yeah.
See, I've been concentrating so much on the men's game.
I know, you're there working on groups. I'm ready to give you all the load on the Kia Classic. Because last time you were going the Symetra, and honestly, I didn't even know what the Symetra Tour was a thing.
You didn't? No, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, honestly.
It's the Challenge Tour version of
Well, that's
the,
what I mean. Like, when you said the word Symetra, that's the first time I've ever heard that word in my life.
So see, I'm so focused about there being 6 days of golf this week that I've forgot all about the women. Apologies, ladies.
I thought I can't be not pitching in on the women, because you were saying, "Oh, yeah, we're gonna have to start doing the Corn Ferry. We're gonna do the Challenge. We're gonna do the Euro Pro. We're gonna do the Jamaica." So anyway, it's at the Aviara Golf Club in Carlsbad, and the reason we know Carlsbad is because that's where the TaylorMade Kingdom is. Carlsbad must be a place in California,
it is, yeah. It's where the
par 72, guess the yardage, and I hope I haven't done the postcode yet.
This, I'm gonna say fact check before we've even started this. 6558. Do you know we didn't touch on this?
Santa Monica Boulevard, it says. Nah, 6558. That's six, short, isn't it?
It is, but you know, they spoke about this. It was on one of the golf shows, and they're talking about shortening women's courses right down because the quality of play is still there, but these women are going in with long irons and woods into these par fours and par fives, and even some par threes, because they haven't got the distance, you're losing the entertainment factor. Whereas the men are hitting a bomb and drives and it wedges in, so the score on clubs, they're getting it closer, more birdies. The women are not getting those same opportunities because the courses are made too long.
Not all of them though, some of them bomb it.
Yeah, exactly. But it's when you do a compare and contrast of, if you look at the percentage of men who hit it between 290 and 330, it's a much higher percentage than in the women's game. So there's only if you put a longer course like a 6'8", 6'9" for the women, you're putting a big disadvantage to the shorter hitters.
It makes sense.
If you bring the yardage back, yet the bigger hitters will have an advantage, the same way the bigger hitters have an advantage on the PGA Tour now, like your Rorys and your Brysons. But like golf in general, it's not about long yardages, but because the women haven't got the yardages to begin with, and they're going in with the long irons in the woods, then they don't stand a chance really to compete week in, week out. Whereas if you give them same women the scoring clubs like the men have, then they're just as good as the men.
Oh well, it's good, isn't it? Michelle Wee is back after maternity leave.
Oh.
Yeah. But she hasn't played since 2019.
It's good to see her back, to be fair. Yeah. She's quality, isn't she?
I think they're coming back this week, because then you've got the A&A next week in Mission
Hills.
Yeah,
the first major.
So she's back, have a little thing. But I was reading a list of her injuries, right? So she beat in 2019, she had hand surgery. She come on the scene as a youngster, didn't she? Like
what? 13.
13, yeah. Whatever. So she's had a neck injury. She had a back injury. She had a hip injury. She had a knee injury. She had ankle arthritis. And now she had a wrist injury and a baby.
Nothing this woman can't do. But the fact is, she's still back and competing on the LPGA Tour.
And her name's Michelle Wee West as well.
Yeah, she's married, yeah. Michelle Wee West, yeah. Changed.
So
interesting.
So there, that's that.
A lot more golf to look forward to than I was anticipating, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I seen it because Hulk was going over to
California.
And I was like, oh my God, this week. I thought, like, I will have this, but I'll do a little bit. Didn't realise I'd have to take the reins on that.
You take the whole range, yeah. Well done, sir. No, very good. Very good stuff. Very good.
And you know what? Thank you. I am going to get what I've been wanting. I'm going to pick me picks later than this.
Yeah, you get to pick them later.
So they're getting sprung on me, and I've got to do it on the show, and I'm getting tied 36 miscut.
Well, I'm coming for you now.
I know.
35 points. You had a good week this week, and
did
you got 10.
Who did you have?
I had Camilo Villegas. He got a top 10. That was 25 points. Neiman.
What pot was he?
Pot 4.
Jesus.
I know. I had Neiman, who made the cut. Neesmith, who made the cut. And Malnati, who had an absolute stinker.
Few people had Malnati, didn't
they? They did, yeah. He was a big player, yeah. And then we had James Hahn, WD, withdrawer. Quite a few had him.
But I would have had no point if I didn't. I took Berger out, didn't I?
Ridiculous.
Controversial one, was it?
Very controversial. Because you put that post, because you'd pick Daniel Berger, you put that post in. And normally, if you've picked somebody and then they withdraw pre-tournament, you'll get their replacement, and their replacement missed the cut.
Yeah, but I got sent that information from someone who picked Berger, who was in the standings, who said, I'm going to change. So if he's changing, then I was happy to
agree with it. But if, do you know what I mean?
You weren't happy when Lowry was up there, though, was you?
I think that was a difference of about 20 points. So we'll see how many points you had ahead of me at the end. But no, for this week, I think if we do the four pots, so like we spoke about in the rankings, and then you pick one player from each of those four pots, and then we'll give points dependent on it if they win.
I think pot four, if comes second, you should get something for that. Do you know what I mean? If a pot four makes the final.
Okay, so what we'll do then is, I tell you what, you'll get points. If your pot one wins, you get a set amount of points.
Yeah.
And then in pot two, you get win and runner up.
Yeah.
In pot three, you get runner up, and third place. And you get, if you make it to the Sunday in pot four, you'll get points for first, second, third, or fourth, because they have a third place player on the Sunday.
All right, that's boss.
Yeah.
I'm so into that. I'm back on that.
We're back on that.
Yeah.
So we'll get our picks out then.
Love how we do things on the fly, you know.
On the fly, yeah. We're good, aren't we?
Yeah.
So we'll release the pots. We'll release the, and we'll do a post which will provide all the information about how you're going to score your points, and it won't make it too complicated because it's complicated enough.
Well, that's it. That was simple as any, wasn't it? Really?
Very simple. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm good. I'll get to thinking on my picks, and we'll do a post tomorrow, and we'll release the pots. But until next week. Enjoy your golf, whatever tour you're watching it from, and we will catch you very soon.
Ciao.
Oh, boy, is he out of sync.